Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning into Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I am your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. I am so excited about this series. It has been touching many people's lives. Families have been changed. People are getting saved. And people are learning the power of prayer, travailing prayer, prayer of binding and loosing, and how to have household salvation. We all want to see our family saved, but the enemy tries to make us think it's so hard. Well, today we're going to talk about travailing in prayer, the Holy Spirit. When we get to that portion of the message, we'll see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for those of us who are listening. And we will continue to talk about the prayer of binding and loosing, praying for household salvation. And we are going to start with praying ahead for our loved ones and how to lay seed. And this is our 15th month on the series of prayer. So if you have not listened to all of the series, you can go to lifeenrichmentinc.com and catch up. There should be over 50, maybe 65 different series on prayer. But this particular series, we've been in, I think, 6 or 7 weeks on how to pray for our loved ones and actually receiving the fullness of the blessings of how do we pray, our role as the warrior priest, our role as the priest, what is our spiritual responsibility. Now, today we're starting in a unique place. The outline for this and the heading for this portion would be exercising your spiritual warfare for your family as a warrior priest. And on last week, we went into detail of praying a hedge for protection, covering with the blood, using the name of Jesus, building that wall of defense, standing in the gap, and praying for angels to encamp around about and minister. And we use the analogy there of how Peter was in jail and how they were praying at the house. And when Peter came, everyone was so surprised. Rhoda came to the door, but there is an expectation, and that's a whole nother subject, but we will keep in line today with the actual point. Now, praying a hedge of thorns for wayward loved ones, you might say, what? Laying siege. But let us look at Hosea. Those of you who have your Bibles or your electronics, or if you're only listening, or if you're taking notes, we are going to look at the book of Hosea. And let's look at the second chapter, Hosea 2. And we will read verses 6 and 7. Hosea 2, verses 6 and verse 7. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil, and my drink. So this whole chapter here is talking about Israel being the punishment, also the restoration, and we know the story of Hosea. And now here we're talking about the thorns, for those who are wayward, our loved ones, and we know that Hosea, you know, he was married to a prostitute. And maybe you have someone out in your life, in your family life, who you may seem like they're wayward. But God, he has a way of touching the people, touching their lives. And I think as we turn, we're going to cover a few scriptures today But let's look at Psalms 88, and please stay with me because you are going to be blessed with this. This is very, very, very important. It kind of reminds me of our chapter that we talked about, our teaching we did on, we covered everything in the scripture about the responsibility of the firstborn and how the priestly intercession is. But now we're on the warrior priest and praying ahead for those wayward loved ones. Now, let's look at Psalms 88 and 8. That's Psalms 88, Psalms 888. And it says here, "You have taken from me my closest friend and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot act." So here we're seeing from the wrong influences here in this scripture that he wasn't able to depart. You know, acquaintances, they may leave or there may be situations, but in this situation, he's crying out. This is the Song of the Sons of Korah, the director, according to Melissa and Lenoe. But here, they're crying out and they're talking about what they were experiencing. Oh, Lord, who saved me day and night, I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. You may be praying out for that wayward person. Maybe there's some things that are heavily, you know, up on you. Your closest friends in his situation, they may have left. And you feel confined, like you can't escape, like your eyes are dim with grief. It says, "I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you." And with loved ones like that, sometimes it can take everything within us, so it seems. Can you imagine what Hosea, as we just read, what he felt like, how he felt? He was crying out with Lord. But we know that's parallel to Israel, how she was always going off, always going and running and being having another husband besides her own. But what did Hosea do? He always loved her. He always took her back. Now, in situations and circumstances, we just want to put, you know, there is a whole other section that we will discuss later. There is a point, there is tough love. You know, some people, you may have drug addicts in your home, and they're stealing from you, they're robbing from you, they're taking your credit cards. You know, there is a balance. But we can pray the hedge of thorns for our wayward loved ones, that they are covered, and that we can lay siege. Now let's look at Lamentations, and we're going to start in the third chapter, and we're going to read two scriptures here, 7 verses 7 and 8 and 9. Let's read 3. That's Lamentations 3, 7, 8, and 9. Lamentation. "He has walked me in so I cannot escape." There you see that escape again, that there's no way out. Or either someone maybe has left you and you feel all alone. But it says, "Oh, Lord." Let's see here. We're looking at 3, 7 to 9. "He has walked me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains." How many of you feel like you're just weighed down with chains? "Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayers. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked." So here he is, Jeremiah, feel like he is an afflicted man who's seen affliction. by the rod and his raft. He's feeling this way. And even in Job, let's look at Job, the third chapter 3. And we know that Job, he went through so much heartache. He went through so much pain and distress. And maybe you're feeling that way even now, like, well, you know, I can't take any more of this. I can't take any more of what I'm going through. Lord, I just need you to come. I need you to help me. You know, maybe you feel like you're hurting, but we even know with Job's story, at the end, what did Job do? He ended up being persuaded by his friend, not the friends that have a bad report, but his faith was restored. There was a restoration. And we're even declaring that over your life, that there will be a restoration in your life for everything the enemy has robbed from you, everything the enemy has stolen from you. But we're going to pray that hedge for your wayward loved ones and the pain that you're going through. And we look here at Job, and we're going to look at 3 and 23. Let's look there first, and then we're going to go over to 19. We're going to start at 19, but let's look at Job 3 and Job 3 and 23, and then we'll go to 19. And it reads as follows. For sighing comes to me instead of food. My groans pour out like water. And we know the most famous scripture, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. But only turmoil is in his life. And he feels like it from his birth, that he has been cursed in this scripture. You know, he just feels like there's that he's wayward, that there's no hope. Now let's look quickly at 19, and we will read the 8th verse. He has blocked my way. There you see that block again, that confinement where he feels like you may feel like you can't escape. He has blocked my way so I cannot pass. He has shrouded my path in darkness. But there comes a point in our lives where we have to lay siege. And these are the points that I want you to get today. That what we discussed in the previous, there is a point where we can bind and we can rebuke by the name of Jesus. And even when we were in Psalms 88 and 8, there for wrong influences to depart from us, those influences that are over your lives, that are coming into your home, where you're feeling like you don't have the freedom, like you don't have the peace, you are the spiritual warrior priest expressing and exercising the spiritual warfare for your family that God has given you to cover your home with the blood. Use the name of Jesus. Build a wall of defense. To stand in the gap. To pray that those angels encamp around about you. Because if we don't, we're going to feel blocked in. You know, I often, you know, think of people who are in depression or are feeling like they can't make it, or they're praying over a wayward loved one and that spirit of grief comes up on them, or that whole situation, it takes over them. And sometimes they go into a room, in a dark room with all the lights out. And maybe that might be you. You're just laying in the darkness and you have all the shades drawn. But, you know, God is saying no matter what, even in the waywardness of your loved ones, or are you in a situation and circumstance where you feel like you can't get out? It may be dark in your life, but God is saying through this time of depression or oppression, are you feeling defeat? As we talked about Jeremiah as he lamented, as we talked about Job where he felt like he had just been cursed from birth. As we've gone through the scriptures, God is saying it may be dark in your life, but at nighttime stars do shine. And so we decree the hope of the Son of the living God and the blood of Jesus over you and your household, that you may walk in the fullness no matter what you may experience. Maybe you feel like Hosea and your husband is out there sleeping with every woman in town, and you feel like you can't take it anymore. God is saying to you, and we're going to pray these scriptures today, and this is what we're going to stand upon, the blood of Jesus, to bind and rebuke in the name of Jesus, to begin to pray for that situation, what you want to see in the name of Jesus. God will bring household salvation, and he will cover you with the blood. He will cover your family with the blood. No more thinking and saying what you are seeing, but God says those things that aren't, begin to speak them as they are. Begin to pray for your husband. Begin to pray for your wife. If she's a she's out there prostituting, or if your husband is out there whoremongering, you begin to pray for them, because God loved Israel. She was an adulterous nation throughout the scriptures. She had other gods, and God does not want another god before him. You do not want another man sleeping with your wife. Wives, you don't want another, your husband sleeping with another woman. But God is saying, even as the lamenting went forth, and wrong, you pray that those wrong influences, that they depart. In 2 Corinthians 10, and let's look at, let's see, we can start at verse number 3, and we will, let's read down to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we decree right now, those strongholds in your house, that they come down, because we have the blood of Jesus working on our behalf. You are now praying ahead of thorns for your wayward loved ones. You're laying siege on the devil and his imps and those demonic forces that are trying to come into your house. And God is saying, no more, no more in the name of Jesus. So we, what, demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, what, every thought to make it bow, bow, bow in the name of Jesus. Obedience. You think of that thought, you make it bow in Jesus' name according to the word of God. You think what God thinks. You say what God says about that child. You say what God says about that husband. You say what God says about the wife that God has given you. You say what God is saying about your family. And you see the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus when you begin to take action in the name of Jesus, and you begin to decree in the atmosphere, and you change your thinking to say that this man of God, this woman of God is walking in the path that God has, and you love them. Jeremiah lamented. Hosea took his wife back many times, and she slept with other men. But we have to make it obedient, those thoughts, to Christ
And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience complete. So let's read this again, 3-5. This is the word for you today. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Now, I told you that we have been in a consecration, and we've seen the bobcat. We've seen the snake. We've also seen the eagle. We've seen the little bad raccoon. We've seen the armadillo. And we've seen the possum. But we have a shotgun, too. But we don't have to fight with the weapons of the world. You know, when on our, we're in Florida now, but on the land in Texas, you know, there's wild pigs. So sometimes you go in there, you open carry, you use wisdom too. But in the spiritual realm, we don't have to take these carnal weapons that the world uses, and even the church has mixed those in. But on the contrary, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So we're praying today for those wrong influences in our family members to depart, for those acquaintances to leave, to imaginations and false reasoning that are in our family members, that they are gone, for conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's nothing like godly, just being sorry, repenting, to pray that hedge of thorns, that wayward loved one, that the Holy Spirit would bring such a conviction up on them and take that stony heart and soften it. Where that cheating spouse, he won't want to cheat on you. Or she won't want to cheat on you because she's under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. John 16. And let's start at verse number 7, and it says here, let's start at 6, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief, in verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the Holy Spirit can bring a conviction. And he says, and I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will what? Convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness. We can pray our heads around that wayward loved one and say, God, Holy Spirit, just convict them, God. Soften their heart. Bring him home. Bring her home, God. We'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 9. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regards to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. Let's read on to 13. I have much more to say to you, more than you can know, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, you're talking about Holy Spirit, show me. He'll show you what. Isn't that amazing? You know, when I read that, I was like, wow, we have a compass. You want a compass, a guide? You want to know which way to go for your loved ones, which way they're to go? And even you could take this for your personal self. If you're having a difficult time, maybe it's as, you know, Jeremiah lamented, or as Job, as he cried out, or Hosea, as spiritual warrior, God is saying, pray ahead to search for that wayward loved one, a hedge to be around them, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit that all wrong influences, all acquaintance, leave. For imagination and false reasoning, that they have clarity. And we're going to close with this. For the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be upon them. Because God has sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of their guilt in regard to sin and righteousness. So this is Jesus talking, and this is a word for us. And as we close today, we're just going to pray. You may feel like Job. You may feel like Hosea. You feel like you've been cheated on. You feel like everything maybe has been taken from you. You feel like there's no hope. Like Jeremiah, he was the weeping prophet. He lamented. But God is saying today, just hold on. Because household salvation is coming. Hold on. Because you can stand on the promises of God. And he said in Acts that you and your household will be saved. So we just decree and declare that God gives you the strength to continue to pray, and you will see the promise, because there's power in the name of Jesus. God is saying, stand in the gap. The angelic hosts have been commissioned in the name of Jesus, and we pray that they are going to the north, south, east, and west with their swords released and activated on your behalf. And remember, you believe and cast down those vain imaginations as well, that you may see the fullness of your family walking in the blessing. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. We are continuing our 15-month series on praying. We have, think this is our seventh week on praying for our family. You can go to lifeenrichmentinc.com to listen to the remaining portions that we have talked about on prayer. We've covered several numerous topics, but right now we're talking about praying for our family. And if the Holy Spirit leads, next week we'll continue with praying for household salvation, travailing prayer, and the prayers of binding and loosing. So remember, all of us have loved ones that we're concerned about. Maybe your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, close friends who are like family to us. But God has called you to a role as a priest over your household. And we are standing in the gap with you for household salvation. Make sure you tune in next week. And we're believing in for great, great testimonies of what God is doing in your family and what he's doing through you. So keep the faith and hold on in Jesus' name. Until next time, God bless.